Welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast. Project Happy Place is an initiative to spark conversation and inspire people to visit their happy place on a consistent basis. My guests inspire me and hopefully you to do more of what makes them happy. My next guest is David Stevens. David is a Silicon Valley native celebrating 20 years in the events industry. He holds a pandemic meeting and event design certificate and is a COVID-19 compliance officer. He's a 2020 Connect 40 Under 40 honoree and 2021 Smart Meetings Planner of the Year. He was recently named to the BizBash 500 list, which celebrates the most influential event professionals in 2021. I met David about a year ago, and I could immediately tell there was a special spark to him and that he seemed to be in the zone. And kind of started to question, you know, why might that be? And I think I could have discovered what kind of brings him to his happy place. So he is the uncontested fittest man in meetings and events. His happy place is the post-workout bliss of getting through an exceptionally taxing workout like the Merck. He finds these workouts bring balance and higher levels of productivity to his day. He is laser focused. He's on a mission to change the events industry. He's building a team of fantastic professionals at Alation, which is the leading enterprise data catalog company. I'm so honored to have him on the Project Happy Place podcast. Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me. Very happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I don't want to leave people hanging on the edge, so we just need to get into the Murph quickly, and then we'll dive into the questions for today.
Okay, so Murph is a tribute workout in the CrossFit world, but is actually kind of transcended into the fitness world as a whole. There was a movie about a Navy SEAL who basically, a group of Navy SEALs was pinned down in a battle, and he sacrificed himself to get a communication station placed at the top of a hill to save the rest of his team. Supposedly, the rumor is the workout called Murph is named after him and is what he did for a workout every day. It consists of you start with a 1 mile run, you then proceed to do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then you run another mile. When this is done, for the most part, you wear a 20 pound or 14 pound weight vest just to make it more insufferable. But supposedly this was his daily workout. And once a year, there is a big celebration and fundraiser for him during Memorial Day. And people come together and, really kind of remind everyone what Memorial Day is about. It's mostly a US workout, but people do it all over the world, especially the people that do CrossFit.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing. That is not for the faint of heart. And I like that you mentioned that as part of your bio, that that's something that you like to do because, you know, working out in fitness, how it brings balance to your life and levels of higher productivity. So I think that's great that you incorporate that into your life to kind of give yourself some more balance. So with that being said, thank you for explaining that to the listeners. We'll see if anyone takes you up on that challenge. I was kind of introduced to you, I think about last year. And what I've admired so much about you is that you've definitely earned your seat at the table with leadership and you're respected by them. I would love to hear a little bit more about what your journey has been like to get there.
You know, that analogy that it's like a meme that went around. It's like what success looks like. And it's like a straight line. And then what it really is. And it's one of those crazy lines. I feel like it's almost 100% that, getting to where I am, I will say has not been accidental. It has been purely intentional. Once I learned what events really were when I was younger, I knew it was something I wanted to be a part of because I knew that the impact they had on me when I was attending them. And I thought, isn't this a great way to provide people with opportunities to learn, to shift their perspectives, to really create an environment that brings happiness and positive memories to people. And that's kind of something I picked up along the way while I was spending time in experiential marketing. That's the very definition of experiential marketing. But there's really no reason that can't be done in any and every event. But I think that's one of the things that we're all striving for, is trying to make that shift from events to experiences. The quote that we've been living by for the last 18 months, really trying to elevate our online events, is events are something people attend and experiences are things that people remember.
Totally. I mean, that's just the key. And I feel like that's what makes you stand out, is that you have a strong passion and desire to create experiences for people and to rethink the way that you have to do them. Because I mean, the past 18 months, like you mentioned, have been really challenging in the events world. So looking back, are there any kind of greatest hits that you've had throughout this time?
Yeah, there's definitely been some significant highlights. One is keeping my team intact, let alone adding a headcount at the end of last year. I think that was a big win for us. When all of this kind of went down and events were potentially on the chopping block, it was up to us to show real value and to show that we weren't a single faceted individual and that we understood that we could be part of the bigger team. So when our travel changed, how do we take the work we've done and make the most of it? And we had customers that were scheduled to speak at various conferences. So at the time, it was a very simple, let's flip them to webinars. Let's not lose ground. They're allocated, like, let's just schedule the webinar at the same date, the same time that they were going to speak, and we don't have to inconvenience them. They already have it blocked in their calendar. What else can we do? Our head of corporate events, he jumped in and started managing our social media for the time being. It was really kind of an all hands on deck. What can we do to help the team? And since we had more time than we traditionally had due to lack of flights and airports and sitting at gates and whatnot, it was a time to be available and be accessible to the rest of the team. With that, we also ended up spinning up going from a road show that we used to do in person, 50-ish people, to a full-blown user conference. And we launched registration like 3.5 weeks before the event. And we had almost 1,000 people register, and we had well over 600 show up, which was nobody expected that. When we first built it and designed it, we're like, oh, we'll just do this and it'll be fine, because we were expecting a couple hundred. And then once we hit the 500 mark, we had to have a conversation with our customer marketing person and say, so we kind of have to go back to the drawing board on the tech here, because everything we thought we were going to do won't work anymore because we have too many people. So yeah, it was good times, but it was successful. People loved it. We discovered SackSquatch, which is a phenomenal thing the internet gave to everyone last year. And then we also did an online incentive that was really, really well received by our top performers. So, and then the cherry on top was getting to hire a new field marketer to add to the team last year as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing, and that doesn't happen accidentally. The fact that you can keep your team in place going through a pandemic where live events were pretty much put on hold, in person at least, and then to additionally add a headcount to your team, it's just a testament, I think, to your strategy and the way you take kind of potential problems and figure out a solution to them. Again, like keeping back to your mission, which is to create memorable experiences for people. And like you mentioned, I mean, that in-person roadshow, the reach that you now had by putting that event online is exponential. So it's pretty fantastic that you were able to deliver for that. And I'm so glad that you mentioned the incentive program, because I know that was one thing that you had brought up when we had spoken previously, is the fact that kind of, you know, a lot of companies just said, we're canceling the incentive trip. So for those listening, you know, an incentive trip would be something that a salesperson would win based on their performance for the year. And you would typically award the top percent from your sales organization in this. And I think one of the things you said was, well, if you're not giving back to the top, you're not going to retain the top talent. So, exactly. I mean, that's the approach that you have. And I think it's so important. And I think more people need to be able to have the courage to have those conversations. Does having that courage and confidence come naturally to you, or is that something that you've learned over time?
I think it's plenty of wins and losses. Mm-hmm. You learn over time how to approach things, and I think at the same time, you have to be able to show the value of what you're doing and reporting. And I sit in the marketing org, so ROI is always an important conversation. I think what's really great is when I joined this company, my CEO has told me this directly. He's like, I didn't understand or get the point of hiring a full-time events person. He goes, I didn't even know it was like a real job. And I kind of thought that was funny, especially because his perspective has shifted now. So with that, taking the responsibility that comes, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I think every events person, every field marketer, we have an incredible job. It's got to be one of the best jobs in the world, just from a rewarding standpoint. But we don't get to keep it without earning it, and without earning people's respect and being very clear about objectives and outcomes and what the point is, because we're all big line items on P&Ls, and mm-hmm. we have to justify that spend. And as you go through your career, you understand what's important to the leaders that you're reporting to. And yeah, there was a conversation about, well, maybe we just cancel it. And it was a terrible idea. So I said permission to disagree, and here's why, and here's what I think we should do. I think that's one of the things my dad taught me is if you disagree with something or you complain about something without offering a different solution, you're just complaining. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to hear that. What's the option? Hey, what if we try this? What about this? Not that's a bad idea. Okay, well then what's your good idea? I don't have one. That's just a bad idea. Okay, thanks for being helpful.
Definitely. I mean, if you had an alternative solution that you could present, presenting solutions versus problems, you're more likely to get the buy-in from people to proceed. And I love the fact that you kind of did come to the table with an alternative solution for the incentive trip, proceeded to have it. And can you share any testimonials about what it meant to the attendees?
I did get a handwritten card. And that was my second year in a row. The last year we did it in person, and one of the plus ones actually sent me a card to the office, and I was like, oh, okay. And it was filled out, it was blank inside, filled all the way out on the inside and on the back. And I thought, okay, I've done a few incentives. I don't know that I've ever gotten a handwritten note before. Okay. All right. Now we did all the KPIs and all that stuff, of course. And we got great things, but the fact that someone sat down and put pen to paper is always a significant thing. And then it happened again last year from one of the attendees. What was great is she was pregnant at the time. She now has a little girl. And we did a cocktail making class, but as part of the online experience. And in that cocktail making class, we basically made two mocktails and then said, and if you want to make it alcoholic, you can put tequila in it. And so she felt very, people were excited about that, of course, but she felt very included with the fact that we had given the thought to the fact that we knew she was pregnant. We knew she couldn't drink. We were going to have this. We had the chef at a Four Seasons on the call with us, leading the cocktail class, and the fact that she got to participate just as much as anyone else really resonated with her. And The other thing that we got a lot of great feedback on was people said their plus ones had never felt so included in these things before. And that was really important, because our trip's a little different in the fact that it's a company-wide trip. So there's a lot of people that haven't experienced it before. Like an engineer's best friend, or the idea is, you know, we tell them to bring whoever their support system is, because that's the person that's going to hopefully motivate them again when they're hitting the wall and they're running out of gas. They can, you know, provide that support. But they all felt very, very included, and it wasn't just let's celebrate this person, but it was more than that. It was celebrate the person and their support system, because people crumble without a support system.
Yeah, completely. I mean, the hand ring card is just a testament to how people felt so driven to kind of give back and thank you, because who even has stamps nowadays? I mean, I'm a big believer in a handwritten note card, but when I like say I have stamps in my house, a lot of people look at me like, what for anymore? Why would you have a stamp when you could send an email? But it's a whole thing
to send mail.
It is a whole thing. And I love that people took the time to write to you to say thank you. And I think that the fact that you have this thoughtful approach, the attendees recognize it. I mean, for me, one of the biggest things in planning events is if people cry, and not that they're crying out of sadness, that they're crying because of the emotion that it brings to them. For example, we had a virtual event and we had an intro video kind of thanking people for all the things that they did in 2020, you know, seeing customers throughout the pandemic. And in the chat function during the event, you know, the first 3 minutes the video is playing, people said, "Why am I crying already?" And I was like, KPI check measured. We measure our KPIs in tears. So yeah,
how many people can we make cry? we're like bad reality TV producers.
I know. I mean, I hate to even disclose that, but I do feel like for me, what that really means is that people have emotion around these events and what you're doing for them, and they feel like the thoughtfulness that goes into it. So I hear you on that piece.
I completely agree with you. When we did our company kickoff this year, it was online. It was in February. And it was a 3-day thing, and we saved and we did a cold opening each day into a video of what 2020 was like for people. And we asked people to just film themselves at home and blah, blah, blah. And then we had a production company splice them all together into these great, like 5 to 7 minute videos. One of our people learned to play the piano. And then he, for Valentine's Day, because it was right after Valentine's Day, he learned to play a song for his wife. And he shared this in the video. And when that video came through, I was like, we got to save this for day 3. This is the good stuff. Like, it's day 3. People are probably starting to run out of gas. And this is just going to hit them right in the feels. And we played it and chat exploded.
That's amazing.
I'm not crying. You're crying. I'm not crying. You're crying. It was amazing, which I feel a little like guilty about, but it totally speaks to your point. Bringing people to be so present that they feel their emotions. Mm. That's exceptionally difficult in the times we're in right now. And when we can do that, it really, that experience is officially an experience at that point.
Well, and it makes a difference, and it's a memory. You know, I've heard before that memories are tied to emotion. So it makes perfect sense. You know, I mean, I'm sure if we polled people in your organization and they said, "What did you remember about the kickoff?" I bet people would say day 3 piano playing because they had emotion tied to that experience. And I'm with you in the why are we in the event business when, you know, you could be doing something else. It's that you have the power to create these experiences for people. that work so hard for their organization. And that's why, you know, you're an asset to Alation and that you come to the table with these really unique, thoughtful ideas. You're super strategic. And I love that. And I know that you've shared your story about the incentive with some other meeting planners, and that has inspired them to have similar conversations with people in their organizations. So I know that that story and your experience in that has then gone on and resonated with others to do something similar for their company. So thank you for that.
That's very flattering to hear. I'm glad it could be of inspiration to other people. I think last year was an exceptionally tough year. But I think there's no reason to forget how hard people worked in 2019. And if you can treat them right, you really needed them to dig in last year of all the years. And we're in the process of figuring it out now for this year. Hopefully not have to do it in 2022. But the thought process now is, okay, we got to do it again. How do we make it better?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a perfect segue into what is top of mind with a lot of people right now is with Delta variant and going into the fall. I know there have been a number of event postponements or cancellations. I know there's still events that are going on. How are you going into this fall Q1, and what is, you know, your approach if you're able to disclose any of that?
So I would say 3 months ago, I was getting pitched on events. They're like, we're in person only. I said, oh, okay. Well, when you get a backup plan, let me know. We don't need a backup plan. We'll be fine. Okay. All right. Sure. Go ahead. I posted a tweet back in like June, and I reshared it because I was like, this is aged like fine wine. And it was a meme. It was that guy like sitting at the table. That's the change my mind guy. And I said, in-person events need an online plan for the next 6 months. Change my mind. And I wish I wasn't right. I was. Mm-hmm. I wish I wasn't. I wish this had just kind of continued down the path it was, but it didn't. So onward, upward, let's figure it out. So the plan now is figure it out. I waited to get my certifications very late in the game, so to speak, because I wanted to have as much information as possible. I wanted to have gone through potentially the worst of it, which I guess that's to be determined, but we have a vaccine now that's effective. So in theory, we have gone through the seemingly worst of it last year. And so I waited to get through that to really get a better understanding of what kind of mitigation risks, how to approach this strategically, and think through the process and try to be measured about it. The pandemic has been a twofold pandemic in the sense that it's been physiological and psychological, and there's a lot of people in a lot of different places mentally. And you have to be able to appreciate that, understand that, and accommodate that so that as you return back to events, you got to have a great duty of care so that people understand what you're doing. I can't tell you the piecemeal things I see coming in from shows that want us to sponsor. I'm like, what are your COVID protocols? And they're like, we'll have a hand sanitizer. Okay. You don't have any protocols. But we're, you know, one of the key things we did actually is we took our head of corporate events and we moved him into a new role. We actually created the new role first, and then he said he wanted it, so we gave it to him. And we moved him into a role that is entitled Digital Event Producer, because this is here to stay. The reach, the opportunity, the ability to create these online experiences for people, they're never going to go away. They're never going to go away. Sure, some events will be in person only, but the big ones, they're always going to have two sides to them. And there's no reason that we shouldn't have someone who is an expert and is driving our online experience at events and keeps us at the forefront of it to keep us standing out all the time, be it for employee events, be it for online trade shows, be it for whatever. It doesn't matter. Our online event experience should be top notch every single time.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to get people at different points in their life where they can't actually travel to an event, but they like the content and they want to be able to still view it real time as it's happening in the ballroom. They, you know, might not be able to go across the world to travel. They might want to go. So it's like, it has to, it's just part of the decision-making process now when you're thinking through your events that you even want to go to personally. And it's not to say that if you don't go to an event, it's because of COVID anymore. It could just be because you're weighing a lot of other decisions, and that if it's done in the appropriate way, it can still be effective for you as the attendee. And I think the point there is really if it's done effectively. I mean, like you said, it's like, we got hand sanitizer. You want to come? It's like, oh my Lord. Like, if we haven't learned anything, can we just learn that's right. Not enough?
Well, let alone people who are planning in-person only events. There's a large analyst firm I had a conversation with, and I had a conversation with their head of sales. I'm like, how do you not have a plan? We aren't out of this yet. We don't know what's going to happen. Do you guys remember 18 months ago? Like, what's going on over there that people are just like plugging their ears and saying, la, 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 no, 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 it's not going to happen again. Like, what do you, come on. Mm-hmm. It is being painfully naive. And sure enough, now it's an online event. All of that stuff that happened, the great pivot, I said it, I'm sorry, was a learning opportunity. And if you didn't learn anything in that window, then you missed the boat.
Yeah.
It was a great opportunity to learn about adapting an iterative mindset, about being flexible, about understanding what you have and how to manipulate it in different ways so that you don't have to just fold up and collapse. It was an opportunity to really step up and show to your executive team that you're not just a party planner, mm-hmm. and that you're there to help drive business, regardless of what the climate is in the world, regardless of the fact that there's a global pandemic happening, you're still going to be able to provide value and that you're more than just a party planner.
Well, 100%. And, you know, it's like, I can tell you truly care about every single attendee that comes to your meeting. You're not doing this for the glory, because I feel like there's not a whole lot of that. And I quite honestly prefer to be a behind the scenes person as well. It's like, you truly care. That's why you're doing this career. It started from a long time ago where you wanted to create these experiences because you want to create those memories for all of the attendees that come to your event. And I think that's what, you know, really makes you stand apart from people in the industry. And I know that, you know, you're really vocal on LinkedIn and a big proponent of people in the industry that are kind of changing the way we think about things, the way we do things, because it's kind of this catalyst for change that we can get this seat at the table where we're respected by leadership. And it's really an asset in the organization if you put the right person in that role.
Yeah, it can be. I think that's the key. I think one of the things is, we have to believe in ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We have to stick to our guns. But we aren't people that are traditionally invited to that conversation where everybody knows we're out spending gobs of money doing things, but really being comfortable when there's, you know, a company kickoff or sales kickoff or something of that nature, and driving and owning those meetings and setting an agenda and showing up and eloquently, but politely, but directly telling the executives what you need from them, it's just going to earn you respect. It's not going to go bad. I mean, if you do it poorly, it can, but hopefully at this point you have an understanding of, you know, what your executives' personalities are like and what you can get away with and what you can't. But you should be comfortable. You got to think about it. You know, it's no different than when you're on site and you're doing a rehearsal. Nope, you're too long. You gotta keep it within this timeline. Like, being comfortable with owning that only drives respect, and they everyone appreciates someone who's good at their craft. It doesn't matter what they do. If it's a professional athlete, if it's a cook, if it's a glass blower, someone who's good at their craft is always enjoyable to watch. And if you show up to the room and you are good and polished at your craft, everyone's going to enjoy having you there.
Yeah. I mean, amen to that. That's true. Like you said, across any, you know, career path that people choose to have. So with that being said, I know we've covered a lot about, you know, your professional hat, and we dove into personally kind of what you do to kind of help balance yourself with the Murph workout. So as we kind of wrap things up, it hasn't been an easy past 18 months. What are some things that kind of you do or have in your daily routine to kind of keep you in balance and in check?
I spent a lot of time last year focusing on, because I had lots of singular location time, instead of the constant hustle and bustle of travel and whatnot. I think in 2019, I did like 160,000 miles in air. That was a big shift in 2020. One, I've gotten into the best shape of my entire life, mostly because of being able to stay consistent. My food, my workouts, et cetera. There's no layovers. There's no delays. There's no like, oh, you're not getting in town in time. Just those things that are events that we all love. I mean, we all enjoy the chaos, but being home all the time has enabled me to really be as consistent as possible with my diet and exercise, which has been that it really is like, it's where I go to kind of check out if I make time for it, be it in the morning or in the middle of the day. I always make time for it so that it's like a reset, and it doesn't matter. Like if it's in the morning, any anxiety or whatnot is dealt with from a anxiousness standpoint, because my body is just a little more tired, so my mind is a little more at ease. If it's in the middle of the day, usually there's some things like if I had early morning meetings, I'll block some time during lunch, get it done. I felt anxious about not getting it done, get it done, reset, go back into the second half of the day. And then the other thing is they gave us, at the company, they gave us, access to one of the meditation apps that is guided meditation. Super helpful. I actually really got into it. Being still was a really new concept to me, and it really helped me slow down. Mm-hmm. I'm not always the most emotionally intelligent communicator. I am fast. I respond almost immediately every single time to everything. But you sometimes hurt some feelings with being able to keep up that pace. And I took some time to really reflect on myself and get that dialed in, and really just embrace stillness, embrace the pause, embrace moments where you can stop and be a little more emotionally intelligent, so that you, when you write an email, you're not just firing it off before takeoff. You write the email and you go, okay, I'm not going to hit send yet. Let me reread that. And just being able to take those moments has really changed a lot for me.
I love that so much. I mean, thank you for sharing. The meditation piece is spot on for me too. A friend of mine works at a company that gave all their employees and a couple of friends access to the wellness coach. So it's very similar. There's daily meditations, there's live courses that they have. And just to be able to listen to like a live class on, you know, well-being or how to handle stress, or just doing like a 10-minute meditation in the morning is like such a game changer for how you are as a person, not only to yourself, but to those around you. I mean, I can tell, like how you said, I can start to tell when I'm getting a little wobbly, and like my thing has been cooking, because I kind of stopped doing that. And I was like, no, I need to do it. So for me, it's very soothing to cook, whether it's like bake something healthy or cook dinner. So I can tell if I'm starting to get a little wacky, I'm like, no, it's time to just get up from my desk and I need to start prepping dinner. Even if it's 2 o'clock, I'll just reheat it later on. Or like on a Sunday, it's like, okay, I'm going to bake some cookies because I want to have a healthy little snack. And then if it's a really crazy week, it's like, maybe I'm going to double or triple the batch so that I'm spending more time cooking. But you have to have those things in your life that help reel you back in, that you can kind of use as an outlet. And that's pretty much the whole point of my project Happy Place is that it doesn't have to be, you know, a 1 week vacation that you take every year. Like, oh, my happy place is the beach while I'm sitting there, you know, totally disconnected from everything. Well, that's great. That can be your happy place. But is it realistic to think that you can do that all the time? No, you can't. So what are little things that you have in place in your daily life that are your happy place that you can visit for 10, 20, 30 minutes to kind of keep you in check?
Yeah, my happy place is a little dark at times when it comes to workouts. But I think you're really right. And it's really well documented that when you're trying to solve a problem, if you focus on it, you're not going to solve it. You have to be able to step away. Mm-hmm. So by finding that time to break up your day in whatever way is your way, it's going to vastly improve your productivity, because especially if you're stuck on something that, you know, everybody's familiar with the term like shower thoughts. Mine are gym thoughts, because I'll be doing something else and you're completely on task. You should have something that takes you from focusing on something, a problem or whatnot, and you can go 100% on task where all of your brain power is committed to that. And that's what frees up your mind to solve problems. I'm not the right person to speak on it, but I've heard multiple people speak on it. And it's, yeah, everyone's happy place is different, but it should be a daily visit you're able to do.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate having you in the, you know, events world and following you on LinkedIn, getting to connect with you every so often. And I know that this fall, Q1 next year, it's not necessarily going to get any easier. So we have to continue to think differently and be strategic and persist, because, you know, these experiences and memories resonate with attendees and employees of companies. And I think we're going to just find that the companies that treat their employees well through this will be the ones that kind of rise to the top. So thank you so much for joining.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.